Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how every parent has questions about his or her child's speech and language development. When is he or she expected to say sounds, words, sentences? When should my child understand me? When should I understand my child? Should we speak more than one language in our home? These and other questions about speech and language development will continue into the time your child reaches adulthood. It is important for parents to understand typical speech and language development so they can identify early warning signs that their child may be missing developmental milestones and perhaps need some extra assistance. My guest this evening is Carlin Kolker, a freelance writer and former reporter for Bloomberg News and Reuters. She is raising two boys. Carolyn Kolker co-authored the new book, Time to Talk, with Michelle McCroy Higgins, an associate professor in the Department of Speech and Language Pathology and Audiology at Hunter College. And it is a pleasure to welcome Carolyn Kolker to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
How did you come to write this book? What prompted you to feel that there was a need for this book?
Well, I partnered with Michelle McCroy Higgins, an associate professor of speech-language pathology at Hunter College in New York, and a practicing speech-language therapist. Michelle has worked with young children as a practical speech therapist for over 15 years. She's seen hundreds, probably thousands of children. We saw a really deep need in the marketplace, in the parenting world, for a book that could explain to parents how speech and language develop, what the typical milestones are, when you might see a red flag from your child that you might want to address with a specialist. We really realized that that all parents have very burning questions as they watch their young children grow up about speech and language development. And there was no book that offered itself as a guide to parents about how their children should and will be talking.
I think it's an excellent book and very special for any woman who is pregnant, first, second, or third pregnancy, or beyond.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that you mentioned in your book, which I think is very important, is that really speech and language develop in utero. Tell us a little bit about that, Carolyn.
Sure. And I want to add that this is an area that researchers are really developing and learning more about every day, every year. But we know that babies develop their auditory system in utero, and they can start hearing sounds really around kind of like around 20 weeks. And so their auditory system is really developed by the time they arrive in our arms. And that means that in utero, they can hear the sounds outside. Now, remember, they are in water, basically. So the way they hear might be different than the way you and I hear. But they can hear loud sounds outside, and they can hear their parents' voices. And we know that once the baby is in the mother's arms, they can very frequently distinguish the sound of their mother's voice. And that really shows the power that a mother and a very close caregiver can have to communicate with their child from day one.
So what you're saying is that at birth, babies are already familiar with the sounds of their parents' language, and that we really need to think about talking to our babies in utero to start the process
That's right.
of speech formation. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Start early, and especially start that first day that the baby is in your arms, because you're already priming them for the sounds of speech and language.
Yeah, many people are looking forward to the gooing and the gaggling, but what most people find very upsetting in the first few days or first couple of weeks is the crying. How do you help parents to make their way through the infant crying into the developing of speech patterns?
Sure. I mean, I know I am the parent of two young boys. Both of them had very strong lungs at those early days, and there were moments where I had to cover my ears because there was just a lot of crying. It can be hard to cope with a little bit as a parent, but crying is very important. These early sounds, the crying, the other what are called kind of vegetative sounds of a baby, are really indicate the development of your baby's vocal system. And that is a very, very important developmental beginning to their later use of what we call speech sounds. So cope with it. You can put your hands over your ears sometimes, but make sure you really are listening to make sure that you hear some of these early sounds from your youngest baby.
Now, you mentioned in the book that from 4 to 6 months, your baby will start to discover his or her voice. You might hear cooing, soft cooing, medium cooing, all sorts of extremes in loudness and pitch. And then from 6 to 9 months, your baby will learn some new big important skill, babbling. Let's talk about babbling and its importance for the development of speech.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I cannot emphasize enough how important babbling is in this sort of 6, 7, 8, 9 month old baby. Babbling is really the beginning, the building block to speech sounds, and speech sounds are what eventually make up the ability to say, to talk in the words that we recognize as older adults. Obviously, your 6 month old is not going to have words yet. But your 6 month old is going to have these sounds, hopefully 6, 7, 8 month old is going to have these sounds that are typically a sort of consonant vowel pattern, such as baba or mama or dada. And they might not really mean anything. They needn't mean anything. However, they are your baby's way of showing that he or she can say those sounds that will later develop into words that mean something of significance.
And when dada shows up, when the baby is saying dada, they get the importance of the words, right?
Right, right. And one of the really important things to know as a parent is the feedback that you give your child. So sure, these sounds may not quote-unquote mean anything, but you are going to show your baby that words do mean something. So you're going to talk back to your baby, oh, yes, that is dada. Oh, that's the doggy. Oh, are you hungry? Whatever words you might use, show your child how interactive the language conversation is.
So
you should expect those sounds, but you should also expect to then kind of create a feedback loop with your child with those sounds.
So what you're saying is that, and what you say in the book, is that babbling is very important, and that if your baby isn't babbling by 8 months and saying these repetitive sounds, mama, gaga, dada, etc., you indicate in the book it may be talk to a pediatrician to find out what's going on. What do you mean by that?
That's right. So at around 8 months, because, you know, we do know that there is a range with babies, as with all, even older children and even adults, and when they complete their kind of milestones. But by around 8-ish months, if you're not hearing any of these babbling sounds, we really do recommend that you check in with your child's pediatrician or other regular medical provider. Sometimes the lack of babbling can indicate a hearing issue. All babies should be hearing tested at birth, but those tests are not flawless. So you really want to make sure that if you're not hearing any babbling, you might want to go in for an additional hearing test. Some babies are prone to ear infections, so if you've had a child who's had a lot of ear infections and is not babbling, you might want to see if that's having an overall effect on his or her hearing. Those are really the things you would want to do, and kind of make sure you have a very watchful eye on your child.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Eleanor Barbaro, and this evening we're talking with Carlin Kolker, who is one of the co-authors of Time to Talk, What You Need to Know About Your Child's Speech and Language Development. And I think it's very important because, you know, sometimes we know it's there, but we don't know what the stages are or what the signs of development are. And also particularly in producing the sounds and also the hearing. How do we know when our children are really hearing and hearing our sounds and hearing us talk to them? Are there any signs that we can look for?
Sure. So with a baby, an infant, you want to make sure that they're reacting to loud sounds. A young infant, you know, if you drop a pot or a pan on the floor, they should react, assuming they're awake. There's a car alarm, they might turn their head. A dog barking, again, they might turn their head toward that sound. That's a good sign. Sometimes babies are tired. If you want to give this a couple chances, but if you really notice that over time your baby is not responding to any of these sorts of loud noises, you would definitely want to see a pediatrician or an audiologist. And then as the baby grows, as they're 10, 11, 12 months old, you want to make sure that they are responding to their name. So again, babies can be very focused on a toy or looking at the dog or big brother, big sister. But at some point, they should be able to, when they hear their name, respond to it. Look at you, stop what they're doing, and turn their head and perhaps come over to you when you say your name, by 12 months for sure.
Yeah, how is it working with Michelle McCroy Higgins? How has this been helpful to you in the raising of your own boys?
Great question. I've learned so much, and one of the things I've learned is every parent has questions about how their children are talking, are learning to talk, are mastering language. My children now are almost 5 and 8 years old, and so they have mastered those very early years, but I still have questions, and I think the book really addresses all of these questions that parents have from ages really 5, 0 to about 6, 7 years old, because these questions continue as children grow from the infancy to the toddler to the sort of elementary school age. We have questions about speech sounds, about patterns, and then about how children talk with other children, how they might address adults, how they can tell stories, and really when literacy develops.
And
because
I think
literacy, we know, has a very very important effect, a very important background with oral language development.
And we're going to talk more about what you need to know about your child's speech and language development and how it impacts on their ability to learn in class when they go to school, and how each child has a different style not only of speaking but also of hearing and deciphering language when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
If you are a Golden Age folky and love the music of Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and the Kingston Trio, WDIY is the place to be on Monday nights. From 7 to 9 p.m. on folk classics, all of that great music from the late 1940s to the late 60s will fill the airwaves, and we will welcome your ideas about the artists and songs you'd like to hear. Folk classics, Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Barbaro, your host. And this evening we're talking about a very very special book that I think is important for all parents called Time to Talk, written by Dr. Michelle McRoy Higgins and Carlin Kolker, who have written a book about what you need to know about your child's speech and language development, and also how that impacts upon success in school, because speech and language are really very important in the development of a child's ability to function in school. Now, you talk about parents have an important role to play alongside your child's emerging language skills, such as using parentese. What do you mean by parentese?
Sure. So when we talk about parentese, we talk about the kind of, and we're talking about how parents talk to their youngest children, to their infants, their babies, their very young toddlers. We talk about that kind of sing-song voice that you might, I'm sure you're familiar with,
yes,
that we often associate with grandparents and aunts. And language researchers have really discovered that this is a very important way to connect, for parents to connect with their youngest children, that babies really respond to that, those changes in inflection, the cadence of the voice, of that kind of sing-song voice that we often use with infants. And we want to be careful. We don't mean that that parents should sort of use baby talk, that they should say, that they should use incorrect or ungrammatically correct language with their children. What we mean is that they should use that kind of sing-song voice with their youngest babies, because babies really connect with that. They listen to it. They attend to it. And language researchers have shown that often that kind of listening skill is very important as babies develop into toddlers in terms of their ability to pick out certain words in sentences that they hear from their parents.
You also mentioned that it's important to look in their eyes when you talk to them, so that they know that you're really with them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Eye contact is an incredibly important connection between parents and babies, and an incredibly important skill, really, that babies and young toddlers can show.
One of the things you mentioned, you know, we live in this world of technology, and you're saying TV doesn't count, and that to sit your child in front of the TV doesn't replace exposing him to the spoken word. And it might even be no TV for children under age two. Did you go along with that?
I did. I really did. I'm raising two boys. I really felt like those first 2 years, the brain is wired in a very particular way, and TV exposure, and not just TV exposure, but tablet exposure, because that's also the new world we're living in, is really not appropriate for very young babies. A TV show here and there for a little bit of an older child, especially something educational and age-appropriate, is okay. We all need a little bit of downtime. We all need a babysitter from time to time. I don't mean that you can sit your child in front of the TV for hours at all, but a little bit of exposure when they're a little older is okay. But know what you're doing. You're not teaching your child something from TV. You are giving them, or perhaps yourself, a little bit of downtime. But we really do emphasize that in those first 2 years, babies learn best from human interaction, from interaction with their parents, their closest caregivers, an older or a younger sibling, a grandparent. They learn language and other behaviors from modeling. And modeling is when they see an older child or a parent or a caregiver practicing these speech and language patterns or other behaviors.
Now, you also mentioned in the book that it's important to take away the pacifier. Why is that? And how does
that's another thing we do talk about. Sure. So the research is not extremely conclusive, but we really recommend that by age one, you let go of the pacifier for your child, because there is some research that suggests that pacifiers can hinder some development of some speech sounds. And also, just as a common sense tool, if your child has a pacifier in their mouth at all times, or even half the time, they're just not getting a chance to practice their speech sounds and their words. So you can look at a child who's a year old, a year and a half old, and they may have a pacifier in their mouth to point to the food they want or their bottle or doggy. But at that age, they should be trying to say those words. It takes babies a long time to master those words. So you want to give them all the opportunities they can to master those speech sounds and those words.
So taking away the pacifier, limiting the TV as much as you can. And what other things, what about how does fluency impact on the way we talk to our children?
Absolutely. So fluency is, the ability for parents, for children, for everybody to speak smoothly. And in the book, we really mention how it there's a big variation in how all children and all adults speak smoothly, the smoothness with which they speak. You hear many grown adults, myself included, who may say and ah and kind of search for words. But that skill to speak smoothly is something that develops over time. And some kids develop it right away. At 18 months, at 2 years old, as they're learning their words, they're getting them out right away. It sounds kind of effortless and seamless. And other kids have a much harder time getting their words out smoothly and quickly. And they may search for words or find filler words. And that's okay. There's a big range. But we also do want to make sure that kids are able to master that fluency, usually by around age 4 or 5. And we talk about how there's different ways in which there may be issues in a child's fluency. So sometimes a very young child is just searching for words or kind of pausing a lot. They may take their time with their sentences. But other times children exhibit some early signs of stuttering, and this may be repeating the same sound again and again and again. It may be repeating the same word again and again and again, maybe getting sort of stuck on a sound or gasping for air a little bit. And that's when you hear your child exhibiting those sounds, especially for a period of over 3 months, you would want to check in with a speech-language pathologist to make sure that they are speaking smoothly, and if you need to find some help for your child, you're getting some help for your child.
And not to overlook it is what you're saying. Aware as a possibility for concern. You also mentioned that you talk about literacy and its relationship to speech development, how kids begin to recognize letters and sounds they make. Can you talk a little bit about that and how it relates to the way we talk to our children?
Sure. So in Writing Time to Talk, our book, I really became so fascinated with how speech and language development is kind of the cornerstone of literacy development. And this is especially true because as Michelle and I were writing this book, my children were growing, and my oldest son began to read, and now my youngest son is just starting to kind of develop some of these pre-literacy skills himself. And I became so fascinated with what a close connection there is between speech and language development, between that oral language development and the written language development. And so Michelle and I in the book really talk to parents about what they can do as parents and for their youngest children to encourage literacy skills really before a child is learning to read. So not just in kindergarten or first grade when your child is, going to be sitting in a classroom probably and learning his or her letters and working with a teacher, but even before that, to develop a love of books and to develop some of these really important pre-literacy skills that build the groundwork for the literacy that they're going to develop as young elementary school students. So these include rhyming. Rhyming is a great thing you can do with a child as young as 2, 2 and a half. It helps them kind of understand in a very basic way how sounds can sound similar to how words and sounds can sound similar to each other. Talking about books, obviously reading to them every day, that's hugely important. And not just reading to them, but talking to them about what they read, asking who the main characters are, asking a child to make predictions about what might happen next in a book. These are all really important skills that you can work with your child on at a very young age and in a very sort of effortless manner.
And, you know, it's very important that you mentioned that it's possible to recognize perhaps a difficulty with stammering or stuttering, but there's also ways of recognizing the different ways that the children learn and how they listen, so that you have that in with your boys. Do you notice any difference in their listening skills, where one is able to remember everything and the other perhaps doesn't remember anything?
Absolutely, and we do talk about that a little bit in the book. There's so many differences in children, and that is something I want to emphasize as I talk to Eleanor, that when we wrote Time to Talk, we really did have in mind producing a guidebook for parents about when typical milestones are for children, but also understanding as parents of children ourselves that every child is different. And there is often a kind of range in which children hit their main milestones, but also every child is going to have different strengths. They're going to have different things that they're great at, different things that they might falter at or need a little more help with. Interestingly, both my children are very different listeners. It's funny you mentioned that, because one of my children, for example, has a very hard time listening and hearing, understanding directions in very noisy environments. And that's something that we, I think, really talk about in the book and want to make a point about, that noise, background noise, can be very, very difficult for kids learning. And I emphasize as a parent and as somebody who wrote this book to think about that if you're producing a learning environment for your child, if you're taking your child to pre-K or kindergarten, to find ways to calm down the learning environment, to keep the noise to a minimum, that those can really affect a child's ability to learn.
Well, you have written, you and Michelle McCroy Higgins have written a very special book, which is very important for parents of young children who are perhaps going into school, and also if you have toddlers at home, too. It's very important that that parents understand the impact that we make on our children as they grow. And you have some wonderful suggestions in the book.
Time to Talk is available on Amazon.com, and it's also, we do have a website, which is at www.timetotalkbook.com.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.